Today on Family Talk.
I have an Uncle Bill. He passed away, but he landed on the Omaha beach in World War II. And then when you talk with him when he was alive about where our country was, just the look of grief on his face. Someone who fought and sacrificed so much for freedom and liberty, and yet the beach of Omaha, in essence, from a religious freedom perspective, from a rights of parents perspective, it's happening right now, and it's happening right now on the West Coast.
Some powerful words of warning on the fight for religious liberties. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. On today's program, we're bringing you part two of Dr. James Dobson's interview with Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute, as they'll talk about more cases that PJI is involved with and laws that are threatening the family. Let's listen to part two of this interview now that we've titled Defending Our Faith on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Brad, I'm delighted to have you back here. You were with us yesterday. I loved that interview, and yet it disturbed me too because there's so many things going on. And you live and work in California, and that's a tough state to defend religious liberty in and freedom of speech and other issues. I would like with our program today for you to move very quickly through some of the cases that Pacific Justice Institute have worked on, not all of it being legal in nature, but much of it being the defense of religious liberty and the Constitution and the struggles that are going on in that state. Let's start with the man who was preaching on a street corner.
Oh, you bet. He was preaching on a regular street corner near a gas station, so it's protected speech, traditional public forum. He's preaching the gospel. What's the gospel? About sin, repentance, salvation through faith in Christ. Well, he was preaching about sin, and when he was preaching about sin, reading scriptures, talking about sin, well, one of the sins was offensive to someone who heard him preaching, and that sin was homosexual conduct. So they called the police. They had him arrested. They had charges brought against him for criminal prosecution against him for disturbing the peace and for inciting violence. The man's preaching the gospel. At first, we thought, well, they'll drop the charges. This was just a zealot, you know, police officer, something like this. No, they would not drop the charges at all unless he would go through a reorientation program to change his viewpoint and perspective on homosexual conduct. Basically, a humanistic worldview instead of a biblical worldview. We at Pacific Justice Institute defended him. He said no. We agreed with him not to cave in. And the district attorney would not drop the charges until the afternoon before this went to trial on Monday morning. So Sunday afternoon, they dropped the charges right before it was to go to trial the next day, Monday morning.
Now, there's an example of a violation of free speech as outlined in the Constitution.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. This was unconstitutional. And yet that is how zealous many in public service in California have become against the biblical Christian worldview.
So why couldn't you get those charges dropped?
Well, we did get them dropped.
Yeah, but after a long time.
Oh, yeah. We were going to have to go to trial. And the key point, and here's what I want people to understand, is the fact that we were willing to represent him and anyone in the United States in his position through trial all the way up to the Supreme Court without charge. Christians need to know that they're not going in alone. And if they ever need this representation, it doesn't matter if it's a big case or a little case. One hallmark of Pacific Justice Institute is we work hard to make sure that no one is ever left on the side of the road when it comes to these important constitutional issues. We have another case pending right now as we speak in Las Vegas. Once again, a street preacher preaching on a public sidewalk. And they have arrested him and are criminally prosecuting him because their rule is, oh, you can preach so long as you keep walking and moving away from people. I have a problem with that. I think our founding fathers have a problem with that. I call it the soapbox with wheels mandate. You can be on your soapbox. You just got to keep it moving.
That's almost breathtaking to think that is happening in America.
Yes. And we've had other cases, too. We had another one in Long Beach last year. So this kind of hostility and mistreatment of those who are just exercising classic free speech in traditional public forums like public sidewalks or public parks. This is something we've seen pick up, and I think it's going to pick up even more. And that's why it's critical that we make sure every single one of these cases are met. That not a single pitch given to us ever makes it past the plate. We need to hit every single one of them, and that's what we're committed to do.
So that's an example of some of the kind of work that you guys are doing. And I thank God that you're available, that there is an answer. There's an advocate that's there for those that find themselves, if anything, threatened with a jail sentence. What would have happened in those two cases if those men had lost?
It would have had a chilling effect on people wanting to share their faith throughout the United States. All it takes is one to send waves of chill throughout the country. We understand that. And that's why Pacific Justice Institute is so committed to make sure, like I said, no one is left on the side of the road.
Tell us about the situation in Bakersfield that occurred that you guys were involved in.
Right. Now, if people don't know about Bakersfield, this is Buck Owens country. People in California refer to Bakersfield as that little piece of Texas in the state of California. Wonderful, friendly, a lot of church-going people. And yet, it was here in Bakersfield, in a large retirement community, where a Bible study was shut down in the community clubhouse. Even though they allowed other groups to come in, the Bible studies were shut down. They even had a little worship service on Sunday mornings for senior citizens who on their own couldn't get to church. That was shut down, and the reason it was because one atheist filed a complaint with the homeowner association to have this shut down. They went ahead and shut it down. We went into court, and we defended these Bible studies, and the good news is we got the relief we needed to have that protected in the first battle. The problem is the homeowners association, the leadership there, have been working on alternative policies to find a way to keep out those Bible studies or to limit those Bible studies and the worship service. So it's really frustrating that in the end, it wasn't just one atheist. We're dealing with a leadership of a homeowner association in a retirement community in Bakersfield, California, which is totally obstinate towards the ability for these people to meet like everyone else, to be treated equally and fairly like other groups wanting to meet and use that clubhouse.
Let's talk about the pro-life cases you've been involved in.
Yeah, we at Pacific Justice have worked really hard defending the right to life and pro-life clinics. Well, we are engaged in one right now as we speak that is of particular concern. And let me explain why. A pro-life clinic signed a lease to enter this large medical facility, to be a part of this large medical facility, have a space there, rent to rent. And then the lease was torn up by the landlord and was denied, even though they had a lease. We found out through discovery that Planned Parenthood, who was going to be right across the hall from this pro-life pregnancy clinic, had pushed to have the lease torn up. So we at Pacific Justice Institute found this out and aggressively filed an action against Planned Parenthood. I'm pleased to announce that since that litigation, that Planned Parenthood has shut down, and we're really pleased about that. But we're still going to continue with our litigation against Planned Parenthood. We want to make it really clear that these bullies, they can't get away with these kind of tactics against pro-life clinics and not expect to face the consequences.
What does it cost for somebody to come to your organization and seek your help?
We do our work completely without charge. Completely without charge. As an attorney, I have to say it over and over for someone to believe me. I know. But we're truly nonprofit, and that's how we've been for the last 20 years since our inception in 1997. And by God's grace, we intend to continue our work to make sure that no one is left on the side of the road. It's very unique that we don't just take on the high-profile cases or the big-game cases. And I'm really proud of the fact that by God's grace, we've been able to do that.
Well, you have been able, obviously, to raise the money. It costs money to do what you do.
Yes.
And I'm sure that it would be helpful to you if those that identify with your cause and your purpose here might consider helping you.
Yes, we'd greatly appreciate that as people feel led by the Lord to do that. We're on the beaches of Normandy, so the work that we do in California has an impact on the rest of the country.
Let me back up to what you just said. You called it the beaches of Normandy. And for those that don't know their World War II history, that's where the assault was made on Nazi Germany on June the 6th, 1944. I've been to those beaches, particularly Omaha Beach, three times, and I was in tears every time I've been there at the price that was paid. You use that as an illustration of the struggle that you guys are going through in the state of California by what's happening. What has occurred out there in the last? I mean, I used to live there. I lived there for 32 years. There are a lot of problems in California, and you have chosen to be on the one of the beaches of Normandy.
Yes, you know, I have an Uncle Bill. He passed away, but he landed on the Omaha Beach in World War II, and he described to me the battle. And then when you talk about with him when he was alive about where our country was, just the look of grief on his face. Someone who fought and sacrificed so much for freedom and liberty, and yet the battle, the beach of Omaha, in essence, from a religious freedom perspective, from a rights of parents perspective, it's happening right now, and it's happening right now on the West Coast. And that's why we're so grateful for the many people out there who do support our work. And by the way, we have a legal insider that we call it for people who want to keep up with our cases, what's happening. They can get it from our webpage, which is pacificjustice.org, pacificjustice.org. And even if they don't support us financially, prayerfully, we really appreciate prayerful support. That is, it's a spiritual war. We never forget that. We had a major homeschool case. They declared homeschooling was illegal a number of years ago. Three judges agreed to rehear the case. They reversed themselves. And that was only the result of prayer because we had already determined that we'd lost the case. So prayer really does count, and we really appreciate those who are watchful, as it commands us to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and not just ignore it, but to be watchful and to engage in the spiritual battle.
Well, the reason that I invited you to be here yesterday and today, Brad, first of all, because I know you and I believe in you and I've seen what you do, but I want other people to understand what Pacific Justice Institute is really all about. Summarize your mission for us.
Our goal is to defend and empower people of faith with regards to religious freedom, parents' rights, the sanctity of human life, and basic civil liberties. And I said defend and empower because defending is real important, but we also want to empower people with knowledge and understanding of what their rights are. So we have these resources, like I mentioned yesterday, our Reclaim Your School book on how to evangelize public schools legally, Faith in the Workplace training video, how to evangelize in the workplace. And I even guest preach about every other Sunday without charge. Maybe that's why I get invited. I don't know. But The favorite part of our ministry is when I get to guest preach and get to see people come to Christ and to see the Holy Spirit move and to see people turn their lives to Christ. Because at the end of the day, and I've said this on secular radio before, one person asked me, he said, you know, how do we turn this country around? And I told him, I said, there's only one way to turn this country around. And I didn't think the announcer was a Christian interviewing me. It was a secular station. Only one way. He goes, what is it, Brad? What is it? I said, that's for individuals and people throughout the United States to come to a real personal relationship with the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ. And there was a dead silence. And he goes, what else? I said, that's it. Long term, that's it. We can talk about some short term efforts. He goes, yeah, let's talk about some short term. But in the end of the day, that's what counts. And we at Pacific Justice Institute understand that. So we're about defending, but we're also about empowering and equipping through our resources and also through ministering directly to church congregations without charge.
I'm sure there's some people, Brad, that are listening to us that are aware of other organizations like yours that are trying to defend religious liberty and the Constitution and righteousness in the culture, and they wonder what's the difference between the two and why do we need more than one. I have just scratched out some here. The Alliance Defending Freedom, that was Alan Sears' creation, and another great friend of mine. The Family Research Council, I had a role in starting that one. First Liberty in Texas, that's Callie Shackelford's organization. There are a bunch of them. But we're up against a mountain a mile high. We're up against the ACLU and all the minions, all of the organizations and movements, in many cases, the gay rights organizations and feminist organizations and many of the things that are going on in the public schools. We need all the help we can get. And I wanted people to understand what your organization, the Pacific Justice Institute, is. It started in 1997.
Right.
So it's 20 years old.
Right. This is our 20th anniversary.
Yeah. And you felt a divine order to move in this direction?
Yes. And
I mean, you're a lawyer. You could earn a living, a good living, no doubt. And apart from a ministry like this, why'd you do it?
Well, when you rebel against God, you're miserable. And I can assure you, I like safety and security, but I really felt convicted to do this. Before I was, I had opened a Western Regional office for the Rutherford Institute. Wonderful blessing to work under John W. Whitehead, who I have so much respect for as the founder of the modern religious freedom movement in America. But after 5 years, they consolidated and they shut down the regional offices. And instead of going back east to head up their public affairs office, I felt convicted to start the Pacific Justice Institute. It was only after insomnia and then finally realizing I'm going to have to pray that I was forced to come to the conviction that this is what God wanted me to do. So I didn't take my boat out to flee Nineveh. I finally said, okay, God. And he raised it up. And it really was God's working. I had to have free office space, free computer system, keep me on the radio stations for free. We have to be in the Black Lord in 3 months, and I'm never going to charge anyone any time for any work we ever do. And God, by his grace, came through on all of it and has been faithful to sustain our ministry as we continue to work hard to make sure everyone gets help. But those other organizations you mentioned, by the way, I'm friends of Alan Sears, Kelly Shackelford. They're doing great work. And I think you're right. It's the attitude of understanding that it's one body of Christ working together, but also finding out where we're called. And specifically, we're called specifically to fight on the beaches of Normandy, which are in California, and to make sure that we're faithful with that calling. I think people also need to understand that it's not all just about litigation. Over 90% of the matters we take on, we actually get resolved without filing a lawsuit. A demand letter, legal counsel, and we deal with thousands of requests for assistance every year all across the country. And so I want people not to
It's not just California.
Oh, yeah. It's not just California. The big battle intensiveness is, I would say, concentrated in California. But we still have case matters all across the country. We had a case in Everett, Washington. A young teenager came to Christ sharing Jesus, and he was suspended 3 times. For sharing Christ in his high school there in Everett. We had to go into federal court, and we finally got a judgment in favor of his right to be able to share his faith and pass out gospel tracts. And then in a township in Pennsylvania, they had worship at this large barn, they were shut down. We stepped in, we represented them. And in Florida, I think it was Venice, Florida, a home church was shut down. We stepped in and represented them. So no matter where people may be listening to this broadcast from, we are here to serve you and by God's grace represent you. And I want to thank the many moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas out there that do respond to the calling of supporting our work. It's very much appreciated, and I take it very, very seriously.
What is your frame of mind? Are you discouraged or are you encouraged? Are we going to win this battle?
Oh, I'm very encouraged. Because I know scripturally that we will definitely win this battle in terms of the long term, the big picture. I do believe that persecution is increasing. That is undeniable with regard to how things are manifesting themselves. We have a nice reprieve, if you will, I think, with President Trump and some of his executive orders. I highly respect that. I'm very appreciative of that. I also see tremendous opportunities with the changing in the courts, with his future appointments to the Supreme Court. We can have an extended reprieve beyond President Trump. But I think what we also can't deny is the working of the Lord through the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the Word. In the early church, Rome would have made San Francisco look like a boys' choir. And what happened to Rome? It was a total changeover. People came to Christ. The church flourished. And why? It's because people took their faith seriously.
Yeah.
And they lived and they sacrificed uncompromisingly for the sake of Christ.
What you just said reminds me of the battle against San Francisco and urinals, public urinals. You got deeply into that battle. Explain.
Yeah, it's ongoing litigation as we speak. We've had a number of head-to-heads with San Francisco, but this one is really crazy. They decided to place an open-air urinal. It's like a little semicircle up to about your waist, if you will, a little higher than your waist. And it has a little hole in the ground, and it's where men are supposed to point and pee, I guess is the best way to describe it. And they put this not in the wilderness. They put it in a public park. And I would say less than 10 feet from this open urinal is a metro line. But not just that. It's a metro line that has a stopping point right there in front of the open-air urinal. And people think, well, it's probably made out of concrete. So no. One third, the very front of it, it has like a vinyl flap. The other two thirds on the sides is like a chain link fence. It is an endorsement for open lewdness. There's a public restroom less than half a block away from this in the public park. And the reason they did this is they said, well, people are just openly peeing. So we're going to find give them a place to openly be lewd, if you will, because that's what they want. Instead of enforcing their own privacy codes. So we at Pacific Justice Institute have filed a lawsuit, and we're laying claim to the Americans with Disabilities Act because no accommodation for disabled people with this open-air urinal. It also discriminates against women. It also violates the privacy code in the San Francisco Municipal Code. We did not succeed when the judge from San Francisco, no surprise, ruled against us. But we're taking this on appeal, and our attorneys on staff are doing an excellent job. Even the judge that ruled against us complimented the high quality of legal work that we put into this case. So by God's grace, I think we're going to prevail. If we don't, we'll see open-air urinals popping up all across the United States, which is an open endorsement of lewdness and indecency that must be objected to on behalf of people who want privacy respected.
Well, there's something similar to that occurring there. Give me the name of it.
Oh, Christians seeking asylum from other countries.
Yes. Explain that one.
Yeah. There's Christians being persecuted all throughout the world. And we discovered that when they get to this country, they're seeking asylum and people weren't helping them. Organizations were helping the Muslims seeking asylum, but they weren't helping the Christians. And so we at Pacific Justice Institute have recently expanded that. And we recently successfully defended an Egyptian evangelist who had been beaten and tortured in Egypt. He came to America with a visa and he was going to be sent back. And we represented him and he's now happy as a clam, living in the United States. He's got a job at Walmart, and he's ecstatic to have freedom and not to be persecuted because of his faith. We are hoping to do this all across the United States for Christians who are being persecuted and seeking relief from these countries that are massacring Christians by huge numbers.
How can people get in touch with you?
Two ways. One, first, they should go to our website, which I really encourage. It's simply pacificjustice.org. PacificJustice.org, or they can contact us at our main number, which is 916-857-6900, 916-857-6900. But PacificJustice.org, PacificJustice.org is probably the best way.
Brad, it's a pleasure having you here. We've run out of time. I hope that we've given a little ride to your organization because it's a worthy, worthy cause and mission. And I know you as a man. I appreciate you. I know what you stand for. I know of your love for Christ. And it's a pleasure having you here at Family Talk.
Thank you. It's been a blessing. Thanks.
A great reminder of how God can use us for great and mighty things. You've been listening to Dr. Dobson as he interviewed Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute. To learn more about the Pacific Justice Institute, the cases they're involved with now, and how you can help, go to our website at drjamesdobson.org. There you'll find a link to their website. Again, the address is drjamesdobson.org. Dr. Dobson would love to hear your thoughts about today's program as well. You can share those thoughts by calling our listener feedback line at 844-823-2669. Once you call, you'll have 2 minutes to leave your message. Any feedback, comments, or testimonies are greatly appreciated. Again, that toll-free number is 844-823-2669. Family Talk is completely listener-supported. We rely on God for your tax-deductible financial contributions to help us continue in the work to which He has called us. We appreciate your prayers and support. You can make your donation securely online when you go to drjamesdobson.org. You can make your donation over the phone when you call toll-free, 877-732-6825. Again, the toll-free number to call is 877-732-6825. We simply can't do the work of the Lord without you. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening, and make sure to join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.